Jess was ranking the different types of Coca-Cola and what's the best one. And she said McDonald's fountain soda is like the best. And
I had a teacher in high school. He was my classics teacher. Yes, I had a classics teacher.
And classics, like for what?
Like the classics, like the Odyssey, the Iliad.
Oh, really?
Gilgamesh. Yeah, Epic of Gilgamesh. Do you know there's a character in the Epic of Gilgamesh and his name was the Hugeness?
No, I didn't. And,
Gilgamesh is like the first mythological folk hero. But he was a Coca-Cola like fanatic, like would take his kids like a yearly trip to the factory in Atlanta. And he broke it down. The ranking is perfectly calibrated fountain soda, either something from the factory or a good McDonald's.
Yeah.
Second is glass bottle.
Yeah.
Third is aluminum can, and then fourth is plastic bottle.
I agree. All right, you're wrong. All right.
It's oddly that you brought that up because I was just reading like Wikipedia the other day about like Coca-Cola and like their different products and everything. And do you know that, like, besides their one factory, which is more of like a tourist attraction, they don't like make Coke. They have partnerships with bottlers and they send out like a concentrate and then the bottlers mix it with like seltzer water and sugar and then like the concentrate. And because the recipe is secret. So that's how they do it. It's really fun. I thought you were saying she was ranking like Coca-Colas, like all the different kinds of Coca-Cola, like, you know,
no,
like, cherry, diet.
Not Coca-Cola is her number one. Hmm. But she was more so ranking like the fountain soda versus bottle,
the delivery
can.
Apparatus.
Yeah. I think hers was the same kind of like your professor's was. She's bottles last. She's like, you just don't.
Plastic bottle is last. Glass bottle is second.
Glass bottle, yeah.
Well, because it's all about the freshness. Glass bottle, especially if it's cold, will keep it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Aluminum, you'll get a little bit of like a metallic taste, but like because it's metal, it'll keep it cold too.
Plastic
is not, it's not a good conductor of coldness.
No.
I think they still have it. Vanilla Coke.
I've had it.
I really like vanilla Coke. It's very sugary.
Someone during the last year or two gave me a, like a Dr. Pepper vanilla, and I felt like
things.
That was, it was good. It was just an overload of flavor for me.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Pepper sometimes is.
There's already 23
yeah,
flavors.
Yeah, it's overflow, and then you add vanilla to it.
How is vanilla already not one of the flavors?
I agree.
Vanilla
has to be vanilla extract in
there. Yeah, there's got to be vanilla in there. I have something cigar stuff to talk about in a bit, but like, this will be good for the Instagram
yes.
and for the people on TikTok. What are the soda rank? Let's go. I don't know if we should go by brand first or type, because in my mind, root beer is the greatest soda ever created. Like overall as a type of soda, because you have.
So we have had this before, but this is for anyone listening new. We have had ranked root beers, or we talk about a lot.
So like ranked root beer, yeah. But
soda, I mean,
where would Dr. Pepper? Because it's not really a cola. It's not like a typical cola, like an RC or a Coke
yeah.
or a Pepsi. Then you have like your orange sodas, your Fantas, your Sunkist.
Those are my top two.
Fanta and Sunkist?
No, orange soda and Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Specifically Sunkist.
And then you have your lemon limes.
Or
Crush. You have your, we'll call them citrus based, your Sprites, your 7-Ups,
yeah.
your Frescas,
yeah.
Your Sierra Mists. I guess Mountain Dew is somewhere, is like kind of citrus, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I hate Mountain Dew, by the way.
So do I. I don't know why I ever drank it.
I
really don't know. And then there was that rumor back in the day that it would destroy your manhood.
Oh, yeah.
You drank too much of it, yeah. So to speak. Yeah.
I think it's because I would think I was going in, you know, I would pour a cup and I would think I was going in for like a Sprite or 7-Up kind of flavor. And then it's
yeah.
like not that. It's like much more chemical. I don't know. It's just a
is
weird
Baja
tasting.
Blast Mountain Dew, or is that its own thing?
It is a Mountain Dew, but it's right. like its own like custom.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's like, you know how we have like private labels? Like Baja
yeah.
Blast was like a private label Mountain Dew just for Taco Bell. It's like an exclusive.
That's great. Crafted by Taco
crafted
Bell.
Crafted by Baja Blast. Yeah. Well, all right, here's what... Because I was going down this soda rabbit hole the other day. Sprite or 7-Up? I know the right answer.
Sprite.
There you go. That's the right answer. Sprite, like, when you say the word Sprite, I can hear the fizz. Like, yeah. Sprite.
Yeah, I mean, and there's really nothing better. I think Cindy was telling me her go-to McDonald's order, and it was like, I think it was a, wasn't it a McDouble? I think it was like Big Mac fries and Sprite. I'm like, that's Sprite.
She's 9 pounds.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm getting like the grilled chicken wrap, and I still look like this. And like the non-sweetened iced tea.
Yeah. Sprite all the way. I tried Starry the other day when we went to Jersey Mike's.
So when I was Googling Sprite versus 7-Up, Starry kept popping up. I don't know what it is. Is that a thing? Is that like a new kid thing?
It's a new lime-based soda, yeah.
Who's making it?
I don't know.
Who's getting into the game this late?
Steve, do you mind seeing who produces Starry?
Who's getting into the soda game this late?
This late. Kiki Palmer was the face for it.
Didn't Shaq have a soda? Like, yes, Shaq soda. It was pretty good, actually. Yeah.
It was like
a crazy...
I mean, that dude has everything.
Yeah.
Starry?
Starry soda. It can't be one of the big boys, because Pepsi has 7-Up, Coca-Cola has Sprite, so it can't be one. They're not going to compete with them. RC? Pepsi. Oh, Pepsi. It is Pepsi.
Wow.
Wow, they're competing with themselves. I enjoy Pepsi. I do. But when it comes to, like, a straight cola, I'm going for, like, which I really don't prefer. I prefer a root beer or a lemon lime. But I'm going just straight or Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper might be the best brand, the best singular item of soda is Dr. Pepper. But in terms of genre, I would put root beer up there.
Do you know how much it triggers me when I ask for Dr. Pepper and then they're like, no, but we have root beer. And I'm like, why are you like, you're disrespecting both because they're both in a class by itself.
But I would say that they're closer together than like Dr. Pepper and Coke.
Yeah.
I would say they have a similar flavor-ish.
Yeah.
There's like spices. There's like a little bit of a zest from a root beer because it's like from the root of the tree.
For a while, Justin and I were to do like pizza for the long, I was just doing root beer like nonstop. And she's like, for the love of God, can we get something
else? What was your brand? Like, what was
they gave us Mug. So.
I can't.
I know anymore. It's Barks.
Barks is Stewart's.
Stewart's.
Dad's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dad's root, and then now, because we've talked about this before, they have those like craft root beer, like Virgil's.
Yeah, we had an episode. Yeah, we had an episode with Greg.
With Greg where we did like a
Virgil. Yeah,
Virgil's is good.
Yeah,
there was one like Appalachian. Like it's the same as like craft breweries. It's like Appalachian State.
Yeah, and it's like you feel bad kind of crushing them because they're crafted root beer, so they're going to be a little bit more expensive than getting a bottle 2 for $6 or something. But no, Barks is. By far, like...
Let me tell you, man. Saturday night, you're 9, 10 years old, out back with the family. Everyone's ordering their drinks. My dad gets, like, a Bud Light. My mom gets a white Zinfandel. I don't know why. My brother and sister get whatever they get. I don't pay attention to them. And then I, like, give me that. Give me that root beer.
Yeah.
And then they come out with a frosted mug and an ice-cold bottle, and you pour it in yourself like a beer. And I'm just sitting there like I'm like cheers. I'm like I'm like the guys in Cheers. I'm like everybody knows my name at the Outback, and you needed to drink so much of it because everything at Outback is so salt. So I went there not too long ago with Sausage and Peppers.
Yeah,
and we got the Bloomin' Onion, and I'm like, which started it all is the Bloomin' Onion. But I will say, out of all those restaurants, a Longhorn, Texas Roadhouse, the Bloomin' Onion at Outback is the worst of those kind of onions. It's way too salty and greasy. It's just, they put just so much salt into it. I'm like, you don't need to. Let the fried and the onion flavor speak for itself.
Yeah, I mean, there's
this is
been
real fat guy conversation.
Yeah, it really is. There's been time, last time Jess and I went to Outback, probably almost a year ago. It was before Peyton was here. And we got the Bloomin' Onion and we didn't finish it. And Jess was like, do you want to bring it home? And I was like, I don't know how good it's going to be, like, reheated. Like, we do have a toaster oven that is an air fryer as well.
Ooh, so like it's also in the air fryer, though.
Yeah. So it wasn't bad. But, yeah, the greasiness and just how heavy it was, I was like, man, I can't finish my dinner,
Yeah.
That's where appetizers get. Like, I never understood why my dad's like, no appetizers. They ruin the meal. And when you're a kid, that doesn't mean shit to you. You know, you're like, no, I want everything. But now I'm just like, yeah, like bread, I try and stay away from. Yeah. Sometimes I can't. If I'm going to a good Italian restaurant, I don't go crazy on the bread. I'll probably take a slice for my dinner. But
well, also depends. Like a European style restaurant, like a real European style restaurant, you do appetizers, but they're all very light and they're like a small portion. You just have like a little bit. When I do like a proper steakhouse, though, if I'm paying $80 for like
you
a
don't
ribeye,
eat during the day, right?
I don't eat during the day, and I don't get appetizers. I have one piece of the bread. I'll get one alcoholic drink, not a beer. Beer's too filling. And then we get like sides for the table. You do a cream spinach, you do onion rings. And then like, cause I'm paying $80 for the steak and it's not going to ever taste better than it is in this moment. If I bring this home tomorrow, try to do steak and eggs, it's going to be garbage. So I have to eat the steak now. So it's an investment. Mm-hmm. It's an investment. It's like those like Instagram reels, like all those guys, like if you don't want to be broke, here's what you got to do. Oh. Don't buy your own food. There's gas. You got to go. I hate these guys. I hate these like alpha male. Do you want to be a millionaire when you're 24? Listen to me. And I'm like, okay, dude. And he's like, my dad yells at me because I don't cook. I'm like, all right, well, I have to go down to the valet. I have to put gas in my Lexus. I have to drive to Publix. Then I got a gas bill. It's just easier to get Seamless. And I'm like, everything goes wrong in your, I hope you lose all your money and you're harmless. I hope you become homeless.
There's this girl on Barstool, Caroline. I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Oh, it's very Polish.
Yeah. And she did cool. a video. She's funny. She's hilarious. Really funny. She did a video of like, stockbroker boys essentially. And it's like, and it was basically everything that you were saying right there, just total fuckboy energy, man.
I can't stand those guys.
No.
I can't stand them. Shut up with your money.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that you were living in a shack and then you just got into investments and now you had no family money? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Even Gary Vee.
I was just about to say
Gary
Vee
with his like, he's like, you got to do this. You got to do that. I'm like, dude, didn't your family have like a very successful wine like company that you put it on the internet and then you made a bunch of money?
He was
like, you didn't work in the coal mines.
About the NFTs at one point. I'm like, God damn it. Why do you have to be the voice for one of the worst things on the internet?
Warren Buffett's the only guy I trust.
Yeah.
He's the only one I trust. Because he still like lives in like a $100,000 house that he bought in like 1972.
Honestly, I don't know if it's in the same vein. I trust like those guys on Shark Tank, man. That's like one of my favorite shows. And like how Mark Cuban, let's say, he just, because I know him from basketball, just these small little investments are just, that's, I feel like, you know, that's what some of my buddies are even saying. Like, you know, try to invest in X, Y, and Z to like grow. But like, they're never like throwing it down your face, you know, making these stupid ass, like you said, Instagram reels. Yeah. Like,
I saw an Instagram reel with Mark Cuban talking about when he first bought the Mavs, and I think he bought it for like,
dude,
I don't know, like 80 million, like cheap. He got it really cheap.
I think it was under 100 million.
And then he,
and this was before really they had like Steve Nash come, Dirk Nowitzki, so they weren't like a hot commodity.
He said that he immediately like moved his office like out of the office like onto the floor like his sales team, and he started just like calling people and being like, hey, do you know that like. If you like a Mavs game right now, we have tickets going for as low as $8. Like that's cheaper than getting a meal at McDonald's. And he was just like hawking tickets, and he just got people to come to the game, and then he invested in players.
Yeah.
But he was like out, like so he was already like a rich guy. He owned the team, and he's out there. So I do like I like that kind of boss too. Mm-hmm. I think those CEOs are always more successful than just like the corporate guy who sits and like no one ever sees him.
Yeah.
Except for like the management team, I can't stand those.
No, guys. I love Mark Cuban.
He's really good. So. Because I'm smoking a Davidoff today, I'm doing the Millennium Lancero, which is very good. The Millennium, there's a few cigars that these big manufacturers had before the modern era. So, like, everyone's kind of hopped on the modern train. Altadis is, you know, like, with all the stuff with AJ, and Davidoff's been making, like, bolder stuff, Nicaraguan stuff. But there was a time right before they all made the big transition where they were kind of stuck in the mud of like doing the same thing all the time. And you could tell that people weren't talking about him as much. They weren't getting any, like no ratings in like Cigar Aficionado or Half Wheel. And then, but they had a few gems that like had failed, I guess, or didn't catch on with like their current customer group at the time, but now are like revered. The Monte Cristo Platinum It was just too ahead of its time for like Monte Cristo consumers. It was very, very good. It originally had like a Habano wrapper. Now they made it, I think they made it a San Andreas.
So
just, yes.
Sorry. When you say a cigar is ahead of its time, would you say the specs of a cigar are not that common in the industry where like consumers are like really enjoying it now? Like you said, it has a Habano wrapper.
It was ahead of its time for the company that made it.
Okay, gotcha.
If that same right. blend at that time, so this guy came out in like the mid to late 2000s. If that had come out from like a Rocky Patel or an Oliva or an Alec Bradley, it probably would have caught on a little bit better.
Okay.
But it wasn't like a Monte Cristo, like...
Typical Monte Cristo.
It was the Monte original, the classic, yeah. the white, just these smooth, clean, you know, whatevers. So that really didn't catch on. Now it's like becoming more popular again.
Okay.
And the Davidoff Millennium, this came out before they did like the Davidoff, like the Black Label series with like the Escudillo and the mm-hmm. Nicaragua and the Yamasa before the new Winston Churchill came out. And this, when we first got Davidoff in the store, we had this big, beautiful, like the wall display you see now, that's like, it was, and I was in charge of the inventory for that for the first year we had it. Like they mandated like you keep track of debt because it was the first cigars we had out on the floor before like everything was boxes and if you wanted singles you had to come to, like the counter was double gotcha. The size and all the cigars were behind there. So we had this out there. They made me like in charge of like I was a manager at the time like made me in charge of inventory on it because they wanted to see if we have loose cigars out there how many were we going to lose. I think we were like $10 under like when we did inventory that year.
Yeah, okay.
I was a machine.
Damn.
I was an inventory machine.
That's great.
Anthony, too. Anthony was an inventory like wizard. But so the Millennium is like a bolder, heavier, more flavorful smoke, but it was in that in between like the regular white labels where it's just clean, Dominican, smooth, nutty, mellow, and then the bolder stuff that they've been doing the past 7-8 years. And, dude, there was also a Davidoff Maduro that I thought was really good, and they just didn't catch on. They just kind of... The Maduro, I think, is totally gone now. I don't think they make it anymore. But the Millennium is seeing a little bit of a resurgence. They introduced this Lancero yeah. size. But I thought it would be cool to talk a little bit about the founder of Davidoff, Zeno Davidoff. He was a Swiss retailer. Like anything Swiss, very luxury, high-end. Decided to put his own brand in the 60s, got into a partnership with Cuba Tobacco, which is the state-owned monopoly of Cuban cigars. They made his cigars for many years. The Chateau was introduced, like all these famous. Cuban Davidoffs, if you find them on the market now, they go for like $5,000 for like a couple of them. Because
how rare are they?
They're extremely rare. Okay. They might be one of the most rare items that was once regular, like completely regular production. Like you can't.
And are they called Davidoff Cubans?
Or yeah, the Cuban Davidoffs.
That's the Cuban
yeah.
Davidoffs. Okay.
You'll see them on like Cigar Aficionado on their Connoisseur Corner.
Okay.
Or they'll have an article about like one of the auctions that somebody found a box. They're very, very rare because in the late 80s, like 89, he had just been feuding with Cuba for a while. The quality had gone down. There was ownership disputes and everything. And then he very publicly had taken 100,000 Cuban Davidoffs that he deemed like low quality, and he burned them in like a pyre, like just piled them up and just lit them all on fire.
Holy
and
shit.
Destroyed them. So he stopped doing that, and then in 91, he hooked up with Heinke Kellner and his tobacco production in the DR, and then started making the Davidoffs we know today. But Zeno was a very interesting figure in the history of the modern day cigar industry because he retailer, manufacturer, like kind of introduced this style of high end tobacco retail before it was kind of very dingy. It was very like farmers and he had a little thing, but in terms of like retail spaces, you know, fancy people smoke cigars like the aristocrats or whatever, but in terms of like fancier spaces and service and then with the Davidoff line, but then he also wrote a book of etiquette. He wrote a cigar etiquette book. And I thought we would go through some of his things that he has in there now.
And when did he write this?
He wrote this in 1967. Well, I just thought it'd be funny because some of these things like make sense. And then some of them is like, that sounds really preposterous. Like that's to follow that rule. So he has do's and don'ts. So we'll start with some of the do's. So this is something that we still do. Warm the foot of the cigar slightly before starting to puff on it, yes. Toasting. So everyone kind of does that most of the time. So here's one that no one ever does, especially now. Remove the band carefully after lighting the cigar. It should only take a minute for the gum on the cigar band to be sufficiently warm to remove the band with ease. Hardly anyone takes the band off these days because people want the band as part of, like, I'm smoking an Opus, I'm smoking a Davidoff. They put so much effort into the bands now to make it like a statement. But
do you think they put effort into bands even beforehand? Or
obviously, I'm sure they always did, but I think he is such a cigar purist
that it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Yeah, it didn't matter. Take your time smoking your cigar. A puff a minute is about right. Hold the cigar between your index finger and your thumb, not between your index finger and middle finger. So what's the pointer finger is index, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying hold it more like this, I guess. Between index finger and thumb.
I definitely don't wait a minute.
Like this, or like this. I was doing it like an idiot. Yeah, like how you had it like that.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
I definitely don't wait a minute.
I'm feeling more professional already. Allow the cigar to die a dignified death. After it's smoked halfway, it will go out on its own. So I don't know if he means that only smoke it halfway and then let it die, or once you smoke it halfway, whenever you decide to like let it sit, it
don't
will just
smash
go out.
It. Don't bash it. To
yeah, that's a big thing. I hate when guys do that. Like never.
Oh, before I started here, I did that. And then,
I know.
Yeah.
I saw you. And before you even started here, I saw you.
And
saw you in my nightmares.
Yeah, now. No, mm-mm. No, because.
Steve just heard smash. And he's like, I'm always smashing it. Stevie Yanks, baby.
Even if you want to photograph it like with a nice ash, and it looks nice. So, but I think what Zena was saying is it's, you know, we joke, well, people say this is a handcrafted piece of art. Shout out to Travis. It is an art. So you don't want to like mess it. Like you really don't want to destroy it. I would do like, I think I'm going to now start calling people out if they do like, if they mess up cigar etiquette, no matter who it is. Cause
Well,
like my stepdad used to lick it. I'm like,
there's places today, like if I'm on the golf course and it's like a hot, dry day, I'll like pour some water or something on it before I like throw it in the woods just to. But in his mind, he's like, you shouldn't be smoking a cigar like that. You should be smoking a cigar in like a relaxed, like lounge. Like that's the only time to enjoy it properly. You shouldn't be like smoking a cigar while you're golfing or like while you're in the car. He was very against that. I love how he keeps calling it a dead cigar. Like it's a lot of like he's treating it like it's a person.
Yeah.
Dispose of a dead cigar discreetly and quickly. So I guess we got to bury it out back. And don't tell anybody. Yeah, we got to go down to the Pine Barrens.
Yep. Or
take
the
him down Pine Barrens.
Or the swamps.
Yeah. We should have stopped at Roy Rogers. Wait at least 15 minutes between cigars, as anything less indicates obsessive behavior.
When you were working next door, did you smoke back to back?
No, not that quickly, no. Because I was also, you got to remember, I was a fiend. I was smoking a pack a day. I'd come to work. I'd have maybe two cigars during like an 8-hour shift. At some point, maybe even throw a Lipsky in. Like I was a tobacco. How my heart just didn't explode. I have no idea. But yeah, so I would have a cigar and then like eat lunch, two or three cigarettes. And then like at, you know, if my shift ended at 5:30, I'd light another one up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So here are the don'ts. There's a lot more don'ts. Don't use a pen knife to cut or pierce the end of the cigar. I guess a pen knife is like a little tool, I'm assuming.
I'm going to look it up. That's interesting.
In the video, we'll have somebody show what a pen knife looks like. What does it look like? What do you got?
I'm looking at it now.
Show me.
That's interesting. Is there any other thing to cut? Like, does he say not to cut it with anything else?
He's probably just use a cigar cutter. I'm guessing a pen knife is like some kind of like everyday thing. What do you got?
Oh, hold on. Internet sucks.
It does.
It's like one of those things you use. Or I used it in art class. The silver thing right there.
It did a weird thing.
Of course it did.
Like a, almost like right a scalpel there. Looking thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, oh, yeah, that, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't use that.
Yeah, right there. You don't use that to cut at all.
Mm. Here's an interesting one, which I try to abide by. Don't touch the flame directly to the foot of the cigar. Simply rotate it around the edge instead until it begins to burn, then puff on it lightly. So this is something I always
I've heard people. Every guest you've had on here has said the same thing. Yeah. I remember Sean Williams said that too.
I can't stand when people go like this. I'm like, no, you leave it in front.
Yep. Oh, you, man.
You puff the cigar, you puff the flame in.
I would do like that.
I can't
right?
stand
and
when
you're
people
like,
do
this,
that.
Chris.
Just do this. Rotate. Let's see. See, this is where you start being like a dick. Lighting a cigar should be a personal experience. Never ask someone else for a light.
Wow.
I know. I always ask people for a light because I have very expensive cutters and lighters that like I either bought or like got, and I don't bring them with me because I'm like, I'm going to lose them. If I bring them out into the world, I'm going to lose them. Yeah. So I always just whoever has
when
a lighter.
We, yeah, when we, whether we're smoking up here or if we go to the lounge, there's only one cutter and lighter, really.
I might want to.
Is there does he have reasonings like explaining now? No? Just okay.
Just this. Right. I might want to buy one of these. I think I have enough loyalty points.
Oh yeah,
on JR.
That's a
plus my discount to get this for like $40.
Oh god, yeah, you gotta do that.
Yeah. So and that might be like I got it for $40, but it's a really nice lighter. And it's like pretty durable. So that might be one like, oh, this will be my pocket lighter. It's still nice enough. Well, listen, at the end of the day, when people see me, I can't be having like a shit lighter.
No,
I got a reputation.
You have a reputation.
But I am also cheap and I don't want to like bring my expensive stuff out into the public. So I'm like, all right, I'll get this at a discount.
Is it cheap or is it being careful? Because
I mean, I'm both.
I mean, I don't know how many Bic lighters I lost in college.
Oh, but I'm being Bic
lighter. I know it's Bic lighter.
Especially when I was smoking cigarettes. Yeah, like, they were. The I will tell you the best lighter ever was the Jeep. You remember the Jeep lighters? It's DJEEP. They were like a Bic lighter, but they were like shorter and like fatter.
Okay, let me. Yeah.
And they would last you a year, and they were like a dollar. DJEEP.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah yeah yeah.
Oh, we used to
I've
sell
seen
them.
Them
the
yeah.
Jeeps are the best for that. God, I was such a degenerate. Do not light your cigar too slowly or too quickly.
Okay.
He does not say what the proper amount of time is, but
how could you? Yeah,
somewhere
I'm trying
in
to
between.
Think what would be too fast.
Well, I mean, I think it's a feeling out process. It's like you kind of do it, and then when you feel like you've got it lit, but people who like toast it way. I see people who toast it way too.
Yeah,
long.
Yeah.
Who just keep toasting it over, like, and then they do this, and they do oh, nuts and hay, and they just keep going. And then people who are just like, whoop, and then like it's yeah. they think it's like 1/10 lit. So it's I think it's a personal.
I don't know if it's on the list. I feel very weird lighting a cigar for people who don't know how to light a cigar, because I don't know what their inhale take, what they're doing. You know, I can only tell them, hey, you got to puff. You know, don't inhale.
Yeah.
And you're lighting it, and then they're like, like they're. Choking, I'm like,
I just
don't
say, like, oh, yeah, you're good. Like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
let them, you know. Let's see, what's in that? Do not indulge in exhibitionism, whether you are lighting or smoking your cigar. So basically, every influencer he would hate, every single one he would probably despise, because that's all they do is like, ooh,
oh, ooh. Oh, yeah.
So it's supposed to be a personal, like, process.
We should make a movie.
Starring me as Zeno Davidoff.
No, me and you bringing Zeno Davidoff to the future and just see him destroying the cigar.
And then he immediately just like jumps off the GW bridge.
It's a short film.
Yeah. It's a very short film. It's a short film. We enter in a con. wait, is con, con's a, is,
yeah,
is there,
con?
No,
right.
Is there a Swiss film? Isn't there like a big Swiss film? Is there a Swiss film festival?
I don't know.
They don't do anything, but they do also do.
They
everything.
Do great films, but they don't have their own film.
What's one Swiss film?
Oh, all right, listen. Time out. I've seen short films filmed in Switzerland. I've never seen. I don't know if there's any. No, I gotta look. Hold on.
I don't even know a movie that takes place in Switzerland except for like one of the Bourne movies.
Yeah. Shit.
Man, they really do isolate themselves.
They
wow. They're all up on that neutral train.
Yeah.
What do you got?
List of 12 must-watch Swiss films. Let's see. This internet thing is really pissing me off today. Yeah,
don't worry. We'll
get back to it.
Do not relight your cigar if less than one quarter of it is leaf. I don't know what... Oh, so if this went out on me right now, I can relight this. But if there was only that much left and it went out, I shouldn't relight it.
Really?
Like leaf as in like unlit.
Okay.
If less than one quarter is unlit, do not relight it. And I also understand that because like you ever get like a nub and you put it back and you relight it and it's just like really heavy and like you kind of taste the ash in it a little bit. It's just, it's going to be normal. I mean, relighting your cigar ever is not the best way, but
a lot of people say not to.
You're in a pinch.
Also,
you got to remember that technology wasn't around at this point for him where like you have a butane lighter that will like burn it differently where you might not get that, those kind of flavors and everything. Do not simply scrape off the excess ash and turn the cigar in the flame for several seconds until it lights. Do not simply scrape off the excess ash. So I'm guessing he's saying don't just do that and then relight it, but he doesn't say what to do, how to do that. All right. Do not clench your cigar between your teeth. He would hate every World War II sergeant.
Hey,
we're gonna get him. Do not wet the end of your cigar. Don't chew it or slobber on it. I mean,
do you know people who,
dude, if you have a dry end of your cigar, what's going on?
I know someone who buys cigars, he smokes them, but it's mainly like to chew on them. Yeah.
I've seen guys take the like end, like they'll cut off the end where they're like, there's no ash left, but it's like the end and they'll put it in like their lip, they'll put it in their pipe. Dude, those old timers, like really like our grandparents' age, they stretched everything as far as it can go.
I mean,
so if they bought
if
they bought a box of cigars,
I would even
say
our parents, man. I don't know, but I mean, certain things my parents do that are really, like you say, they make the most out of what they have purchased
exactly.
or bought.
Exactly. Do not smoke too quickly. You already said that. Do not ever use a cigar holder. You don't really see a lot of them now.
No.
I did see one guy when I was in North Carolina who had...
Is he talking about the...
Like a cigarette hold, like, you know, the cigarette holders?
Oh, yeah.
So I saw
there's one
guy,
for cigars?
They make them, but, like, it's not
but
common.
Why? It
defeats the purpose, because you're not getting the flavor of the wrapper. Like, it's But I saw one guy. I mean, I guess you can kind of use it as, like, a roach clip, but, again, you're not getting the flavor off the wrapper, so what's the point? But one guy had a big one. It was, like, a touchdown thing. So it was here, and then it branched off, and he had, like, two holders, and he had two, like... Toros in there that he was smoking, and he would take it out, and then like, and but I have a picture of it somewhere. It was crazy. Do not stick a toothpick or matchstick in the end of the cigar to help it hold in your mouth. So I guess people would like stick a toothpick in there and kind of let it lean, and then the matchstick would like kind of act as like a I don't know how that would work, to be honest. I'm making that up. Here's a big one, and we've had discussions on this. Do not, and Michael Herklotz is big time on this one. Do not dip your cigar in port or brandy, a habit attributed to Winston Churchill. So do not dip, because we remember we saw Schwarzenegger with the tequila, dipping in the tequila.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, they should never do this in Cuba. He was,
That just ruins the flavor. Like I don't know what the purpose is of that.
I mean, it's people think it's a cool thing. Yeah. People just, they just think it's like a cool thing. Do not smoke whilst working.
Too bad. That's basically what we do.
Yeah, but like we don't. Like, I think he means like if we're working construction or something. Do not hold a cigar between your little fingers. Do not smoke whilst walking in public. He's very much about like. Set the
when
mood,
you're smoking a cigar,
down.
It's your
the focus
time.
Should be on the cigar. Yeah. Here we go. This is a weird one. Do not smoke more than half the cigar. He's looking at like the same way I told you about like the steaks. If I get the $80 steak, I have no other food in my system, and I eat it all right then because if I save it, it's not going to be as good. It'll still be good the next day, but the optimal performance is right then. I think he's saying like the optimal performance of a cigar is the first half. after that, maybe because of tar buildup or smoke pulling through, flavors change, or construction issues. So I think he's saying, like, optimal performance of a cigar is the first half, so you should only be enjoying the first half. Do not put the cigar out by crushing in an ashtray. Let your cigar die natural. We said that one. And do not chain smoke cigars. So those are just, I think he wrote a whole book. There's a whole book on it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see. Obviously, like, I know we joked about, but, like, plucking him out and putting him in modern day cigar culture. You know, how would he adapt to it? Would he just be disgusted by it? You know, because I think a lot of things have changed. Like, for me, my perspective is, there's times where I am here, you know, when I'm at work and I'm smoking and I don't finish a cigar. Lately, I've been like, man, I feel like I really didn't get to enjoy it, and B, like, I wasted a cigar.
Right.
You know, so maybe if we are meeting for an hour, I tend to go on the smaller side. If I find myself, like, up here writing, shooting, filming, you know, taking photos up here for a few hours, then maybe I'll light it. But that's also, don't smoke while you work, because I'm constantly relighting it. But if I'm sitting poolside, like, summertime is my smoke.
Ashamed.
Oh, yeah. He would be like, who are you? You hack.
And you would tell him, I'm one of the biggest names in the industry.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you mean you're big time.
I'm a name.
It would just be interesting to see, I guess. You probably have met people who are in their late 70s, early 80s, who've been in the industry most of their life. I would love to kind of see, you know, it's kind of talking, obviously, had to bring up movies. Like, I love hearing what Scorsese has to say about cinema. Everyone wants to shit on him for saying superhero movies are not the way. And now I know a lot of my peers, like you, other people who love movies, who are just tapped out, who are just the superhero fatigue. So yeah. I wonder if you were able to talk to someone in their 80s in the cigar industry, if they're experiencing any, like, fatigue in the industry, or are they just not, maybe they're, I don't know if they're, it's once, such a broad industry. It like is. It's so hard to keep up with every little thing that's going
once
on.
Once anything becomes, like, commercialized, the purists, like, you know, like Stanley Kubrick, even though he made, I wouldn't even say they were necessarily mainstream films, except for Spartacus was probably, like, and maybe Paths of Glory were, like, the most mainstream. But even if he saw them, like, pumping out Marvel movies, he would probably think it's disgusting. He would probably think, like, this practice is awful.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that there's probably, there would be some acrimoniousness. I don't know, I sound like Stephen A. Smith right there. But there would be some, like, some issues he would definitely have. But
yeah.
I'm going to start adopting this more. I'm going to start doing the finger thumb.
Yeah.
Maybe be a little classier. There's one thing I just wanted to finish off
with. I see
a
lot of the manufacturers really quick. I see a lot of your guests, they do this. They hold it like this.
I'm going to start being like, you know, Zeno Davidoff said you shouldn't do that. I'm going to get Steve Sacco with that. I'm going to get him, and then he's going to hate me even more than he already does. For all my golfers out there, I just want to say, I golfed yesterday. If you keep your head down, you do so much better.
Did you hear the big news of golf today?
I did. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know.
Can you explain to an idiot like me, like, what does that mean? Like, why are they combining forces?
I don't even know what it means yet. Because the PGA, they basically were being priced out. Like, literally, with the exception of, like, Tiger Woods and maybe, like, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, all the big names were, like, signing with LIV, thinking, like, yeah, it's just, like, playing another thing. Like, we could still play for the PGA. And the PGA is like, no, if you play for them, you can't play for any of our thing. But they were losing, like, their biggest names to the LIV Golf.
Yeah.
And so I think they were just kind of – and they were just fighting it. And then they were involved in, like, antitrust lawsuits and, like, all this stuff. And I think they were just – there's like, the Saudis are going to outspend us. Like, they are more willing to just throw money at this thing. So they organize a compromise. I don't know the details of, like, what it means. I don't know if they're going to have joint events, if, like, any of the LIV tournaments are going to be part of the PGA Tour now. I don't know how any of that works. It might just be a separate thing, kind of like how the European PGA is, like, a separate kind of thing. I don't know. But it's going to be very interesting to see how it works out. But in terms of golf, if you just keep your head down and swing slow and swing through, like, I had the best round yesterday. I mean, it was a best ball, so, like, I really didn't keep my own score. But I usually lose about 10 to 15 balls a game just because my driving is terrible. And when you drive it, if you hook it, like, it's the ball's gone. You're never going to find it. Yesterday, I only lost 3 for an entire 18.
Is that...
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Nice. That's a massive improvement. I was able to, even if I hit a crap shot, I was able to keep it within the parameters of, like, of, you know, fairway, fringe, a little bit in the rough. Nothing, like, really went too much off target where it was, like, in, like, the next fairway or something like that. So all I'm going to say is, and I've been playing golf for a couple of years now, keep your head down.
Keep your eye on the ball.
And then I would bring my club up, and then I would swing like this, like really fast. Now I just swung through. Instead of swinging at the ball, I swung through the ball, and I had some beautiful shots yesterday. I've never felt as good playing golf in my life. So I'm excited for this golf season. I have outings. I told Pete, I'm like, get me lined up. Whatever outings you got this year, I'm on board.
So nice.
It's the only time I'm also going to try to go to Cape May with the lady. Oh. Or some I would tell you, some kind of shore. I just don't want to have to go to Seaside.
No.
But some kind of shore.
Seaside to me is, I went to Seaside for my prom weekend.
That's so did Deb and so did I. And we all went to very different high schools in different parts of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And everyone was on the shore for prom weekend.
But at the beginning of COVID, my close buddy of mine and his wife were like, well, you got to go to Spring Lake. At the time, you had to buy tickets at like Wednesday at midnight because they only let X amount of people on the beach. And I'd never heard of Spring Lake before. And then when I went there, it was like $1 million homes. The beach was like kind of kid free, which wasn't too bad. It was quiet. People weren't on top of you. That if you're looking to go with you and Deb, like to like have a chill time, I would recommend that area.
My thing is, and we'll talk about this more offline.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do a weekend down the shore, like in terms of like renting or getting a hotel. Because every time I've been down the shore my entire life, it was like I went with my parents when I was a kid. We went to Wildwood all the time, and my dad had a connection who had like this little condo, kind of like a motel thing that we would stay in. And then otherwise, all my friends, like their families have shore houses that I would just go to. I've never been like down the shore like and had to like rent a place or like go to a hotel. So I'm like, what do you even do? I want to stay in a motel.
Yeah.
Like, do I get a hotel room? Do I do Airbnb? Do I do like a bed and breakfast? Like, I don't even know what to do. So I got to figure it out. But if anyone has any recommendations out there, put it in the comments.
Yep.
Other than that, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you learned something today.
It was nice to hear one of the legends, you know, and it's what?
Thank you.
I was talking about Zeno.
Okay. We all know who's
old. Oh, like what? Almost 45, 46 years ago?
No,
further than that, 56 years ago?
67?
67.
Was, let's see, 40 years to 2007, 50 years to 2017.
Oh, wow. All right. So 55 years.
Somewhere like that.
Some of them really do apply. Yeah. Like a lot of, I've heard a lot of people repeat them, so.
Yeah, this is the way. So thank you for watching. Make sure to comment, like, and subscribe. And as always, keep it lit.